Hi, this is Jeff with the SBCA podcast. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or would like more information about the podcast, please contact us at sbcapod@gmail.com. That's sbcapod@gmail.com. Let's get to the show. SBCA podcast. I am your host, Jeff, and I'm so glad that you're here with us today. This podcast is for you. Camp directors, camp managers, camp volunteers, whoever you are, this podcast is designed to give you the information to make you successful to help your camp grow to its fullest potential. Content, connections, and camps. That's what we're doing here, and we hope you enjoy. Let's get on with the show. Hey, and welcome back to the SBCA podcast. I am privileged to be sitting here with some of my favorite people, our volunteers here at Lake Yale, and our volunteer coordinator and program coordinator, Ashley Roberts. Guys and ladies, thank you so much for being here and being a part of this podcast. We're going to be talking about volunteerism today, but before we get started, let's just get an introduction of a little bit of who you are and where you come from and why you volunteer.
Well, I'm Ashley Roberts. I'm the director of volunteers and programs out here at Lake Yale. And I am from here. I'm literally from Lake Yale. I've been living out here most of my life because my father works out here, and I'm back now, and I have my own family out here. So
we are David and Julie Duncan. We retired almost 2 years ago, and this is our second season volunteering at Lake Yale. We're from Oklahoma, and we live in our RV. Love being here.
Mm-hmm. I'm what's left of Tom Pierce. I've been a part of working at Bible conferences now for 4 years during the winter months. In the summer, I spend my time back in Michigan, which is home to me and where my children and grandchildren are. But I love doing this.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we really appreciate, and you know, for many camps, volunteers are kind of the lifeblood that drives the updates and the renovations and the general ongoings of what camp life really is. You guys do things that we could not really afford to do were it not for groups of people just like you. What was it that kind of sparked you into doing volunteer ministry? What was the impetus that made that happen for you?
Well, I know for us, Julie and I, we knew retirement was coming. We knew we didn't want to sit around the house and not do anything. We've been involved in ministry all our lives through our marriage. And so Julie got online to find out, okay, when retirement comes, what are we going to do? And she found opportunities out there. And really, it's just a point of bringing the gospel to people through our service. We're not actively out there doing ministry, but we're preparing a way for you guys to do ministry. And I think that's just what we want to do to help people.
As we were looking at volunteer service, there's a lot of opportunities out there. Like he said, just to have the opportunity to know that you're accomplishing what God is calling you to do. And that's really how we landed here, was a God thing.
Awesome. When about 6 years ago, my wife and I kind of decided that we needed an RV, and we were thinking that one of the opportunities to be able to use the RV to minister around the country in some form or some fashion seemed real attractive to us as we were both getting older. I lost my wife, and it just became what I was going to do by myself. I decided that living in an RV was workable for me. And any of you that know Michigan know that you got to get out of Michigan during the winter months. So I began to look, actually found a conference center, Trinity Pines in Texas, for my first winter of doing this. And I had spent some time in Florida prior and heard about Lake Yale, and decided this was a better fit for me from a distance perspective and location, but fell in love with you guys. And
you keep asking me back, so I guess it's okay. I'm doing all right.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Now, did you, when you got into volunteer ministry, were you bringing a specific set of skills, or was it just, hey, I just really want to serve? Tell me a little bit about what that technical part of it was for you. Are you being asked to do things that you had no idea that you'd ever do?
Yeah, we've done things that we've never done. And people along the way have been patient enough to teach us. I'm in an IT background, so there's not a whole lot of opportunity for IT stuff, but there's been a lot of opportunity to build projects and upkeep, and so we've enjoyed learning about that.
Every time I get my paintbrush out, there's something new to learn. Yeah, so definitely on-the-job training everywhere we've been. So I love that part of it. We're still learning new things.
I think one of the coolest parts of this is I've gotten to meet some very incredible craftsmen, very skilled individuals, yes, who have decided the way they want to serve the Lord in their older years or in their retirement is to use those skills God has given them to be able to help organizations like Lake Yale or Trinity Pines or Pinewood or all these different places that people go. I made a living off of my mouth. And so the idea of doing any kind of physical labor surprised me. They partnered me here with an electrician shortly after I got here 3 years ago. And my job was to touch the wires first. But I worked with an incredibly skilled electrician, and I've learned enough that when he has to go back to his home state of Tennessee, I've actually been able to do a few electrical things here without starting any fires or killing anyone. So
that's awesome. Now, I know for Lake Yale, and I know for other places, volunteer ministry is kind of the big event that we do. And Ashley, you're a huge part of putting a lot of that together. And what you have done here, and I think the volunteers will attest to this as well, is you've done more than just bring them in and give them projects. You're actually creating an environment for them. Can you talk a little bit about that and what that's been for you? And then you guys chime in and talk a little bit about how that's affected your volunteerism.
So this year we had a lot of new volunteers, and I knew from the get-go that I wanted to have them be introduced to each other over and over again. So I kept doing icebreakers, and even though some of them heard the same question or something similar to it each time, but there may have been a new person in the room that hadn't. So, I mean, I think I asked you guys, like, what's your favorite food? You know, and some of the individuals may have said potatoes or you. I think it was Tony said he likes buffet. And so, so it was things like that, that just, but it kind of got you guys interacting, I think. Yes. And something to talk about and compare. And so that's, yeah, I've been trying to make this environment and friendships, because I know a lot of you end up maybe seeing each other at another camp or another campsite. And I want you guys to be able to have that interaction and know each other. Not just, oh, hey, you're from Lake Yale, but, oh, hey, you're from Lake Yale and you're the one that likes potatoes. Did you see that French fry stand over there? You know?
So, and you've taken that information, not just for information's sake, not just to be a kitschy little thing, but you've actually taken it and done things with it. That's been good information of how do we reward volunteers? How do we do things for them? And you've actually, brought them together and done nice things for them, created a program in and of itself with the volunteers. Talk a little bit about what it is that you've tried to do with them as far, you know, providing them special rewards and banquets and things like that that you guys have done.
So we've done, we like to take our volunteers out for, like, we did lunch. We've done dinners and things like that, just to kind of, just to thank you guys for everything that you've done. I'm trying to think what else. Like, we've done game nights, we've done pizza, we've done
donuts.
We've done donuts.
We did the Super Bowl party.
We did. Yeah. We did the Super Bowl party just to hang out. I mean,
and all of those things, it sounds like that's a lot, but if you take it into consideration of the amount of money that we'd spend on doing things like that versus the amount of work and things that actually happen because you guys are here doing that. We're on the saving end of everything by
far.
Yeah,
that's the least that we can do. Absolutely. Is take them out for dinner or something, you know?
So. I think Ashley has done a great job of building a sense of community. We stay in touch with each other throughout the year. We were in Maine last summer, but we're still in touch with Tony and Tony. We're in touch with Tom. And when we drove in this year, we got here at the first part of January. We're driving in the lot, and
coming down the road.
I told Julie, I said, "Hey, it's good to be home. It's a great place to be. Just to know that, okay, we're going to be here for 4 or 5 months. We're going to serve, and we're what new people we're going to have, and we just look forward to doing that."
How important is that for you guys to have that community aspect when you're looking at volunteering?
I think it's huge because, one, you're living here. I mean, these are the people that you're going to be around for the next 3, 4, 5 months and everything. I think it's very huge of having a sense of commonality, a sense of fellowship with one another, having something in common with Christ. I think it's very huge.
And I think you guys have done a great job just, like, I mean, I know I kind of like initiated the conversations and things like that, but I mean, you guys know that I am here and willing and able. And one morning at like 4 o'clock in the morning, you guys took something upon yourself to help a fellow volunteer. And you didn't even call me. You guys let me sleep, which I was a little upset about because I want to be part of it if something happens. But you guys all stepped in and took this gentleman to the hospital because he needed to go to the hospital. And that just shows, I mean, I'm not really upset, but like, I'm just thankful that you guys took that upon yourself instead of saying, "Oh, well, let's just call Ashley." Like, you know, no, you guys appreciate, you know, took care of a fellow volunteer.
Right. Well, and that's part of being community.
Yeah.
That is a huge part of it. And especially when you're living on the road, I think it's even more important to be able to build that community where you are to take care of each other. So, and we appreciate that opportunity to be able to do it.
That's awesome. Now, I know you mentioned the ministry aspect and having the Christ commonality within you. You guys do devotions every morning, right?
Every morning. And then we, on Tuesday nights, we do like a fellowship time there. And so we were doing, we were kind of doing like a devotion, or we would share. Mm-hmm. We would share something. So we even had past volunteers come that were just, they weren't here to volunteer this year, but they came and they shared what's been happening with them. They're from Canada and they just came to share and hang out because they love the fellowship.
So I know the question is going to come of where in the world do you find all of these volunteers? I mean, we have some really high quality volunteers and you guys and other people that come. And I know the question will be for other camps is how do we duplicate that? How do we find high quality volunteers? What would you say to that?
I think the important role for you all is to have a good connection to churches throughout the country, and be able to communicate your needs or things that groups could do for you. There's two kinds of volunteer, really. There's the church that brings in an entire group for 1 week and they paint two or three cabins for you. Or there's the seasonal volunteers, more like the three of us, where we're here as long as the weather's not good in Michigan or Oklahoma, and we're helping out here. But I don't have a good answer on how you market it effectively, other than just make sure that you're doing all you can to communicate to the body of Christ out there. I think having somebody who loves her role like Ashley does is critical. You need somebody who is in charge of the volunteers, but also loves the volunteers and understands how important they are to the organization. When you communicate that effectively, and Ashley does a marvelous job at that, when you communicate it as the director and you do a good job at that, it makes us feel needed, appreciated, and then what happens is word of mouth.
That's what I was definitely going to say.
There are two couples that came from Michigan this year that, in spite of me, decided to come, and they were tremendous volunteers for them, and they're coming back, and they're going to tell their friends. So that's probably the most effective, is care for the volunteers that come, let them know how much they're appreciated, provide the community opportunities of family, and then let them go and be your recruiters.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like the couple that you were speaking of, like they only came down for just a short period of time this year, but I think they loved it so much that next year they're coming even earlier and staying longer. And actually I've seen that with a lot of our volunteers, a lot of the new volunteers this year. They've all turned in their applications for next year and they're staying months. Yeah. This time instead of weeks. And so that's really exciting.
I would add one more little thing. If you're looking for senior volunteers who are coming in their RV, if we're going to a location in the country, we're looking at youth camps online. Typically, we're not going to call them all. We're just going to look online. And we found Lake Yale because somewhere in there it said senior volunteers and we have RV spots for you. So if we don't find that in your online, our initial look, we probably won't follow up with it because somebody will have that on their website. So if you're looking for that type of volunteer, have it on there.
Yeah, your electronic presence has to be out there because there's thousands of youth camps and thousands of places to volunteer. If you don't have something on there about you have that availability, people are going to skip right by you.
Oh, wow. And that's good to hear from a volunteer generation that having an electronic presence is important for you, because typically you don't think of senior adults or retired people looking online for certain things, but to know that that's an important part is that's really good for us to know. That's really good for us to have. Now, with with that and being able to communicate some of those things, one of the struggles that I know a lot of camps have mentioned is that the volunteer generation is changing. Do you guys see that in your travels, and how would you suggest that camps look at addressing that potential issue?
How would you say it's changing?
Well, the work ethic and things of one generation is not being passed as well to the next, I think is what's being said. The volunteers of several years ago, we're not seeing as many of them as we are today. The pool is getting more shallow, I guess.
And I think people are working a bit longer now too.
That's true.
Not going into retirement.
But I think, at least for Julie and I's generation and Tom's, I think we still have that work ethic to pass along. But I don't know.
I haven't seen what you just described. What I've seen is a lot of the seniors that are coming. I think we had a lady here that was in her 80s mm-hmm. this year, and she sold her RV last year, and I don't think she thought she was coming anymore. Fortunately, one of the other things you have here that is unique, a little unique from what I've seen other places, is you do have some ability to house people if they don't have an RV. You can edit that out if you don't want to keep that going. But I think that is a nice, and it may offer to Lake Yale some people who are thinking about going into RVing but haven't done it yet. It gives them that opportunity to experience the volunteer opportunity and then decide what to do. Or on the other end, where it gives somebody an opportunity to come that could no longer be in an RV. What I've seen are people are aging out. You know, there were a set of volunteers who, you know, probably gave 10 to 15 years of their life to this kind of volunteering, and they're aging out. The new generation is coming in. You know, these young pups like Dave and Julie are, you know, just at the beginning of it. And, you know, I'm smack dab in the middle, and, you know, that's where we are. But I don't think I've seen anyone more in our younger age group who are balking at providing you with, you know, 24 hours of volunteerism a week as an opportunity to serve you, to serve Christ, and to, you know, be in this community.
So that was a loaded question. I just want to let you guys know that. So, and the reason I say that is because I know that I personally have heard that from other places and other things. And to hear you guys say your experiences with that and how that's kind of a news to you in a sense, I think is encouraging for those camps that may be looking at it, but are making that excuse. And that's one of those forbidden phrase excuses of, you know, people just won't or whatever that we try to completely nix out. And because I do believe and I do think that there is that, we just have to maybe change the way that we approach it because most of the volunteers that we get now maybe not be coming in with, I have a, you know, 75, you know, years of construction experience that I'm going to be bringing to this, but I'm willing to do something. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the benefit there.
So actually, that's what I was thinking. I think with this generation that we have now, it's not because so back in the day, from my understanding, like people would work in a job for 75 years. They would stay in that position regardless of the situation.
Started working, they were two.
Yes. But with the generations that are coming down, they have done different positions and they've done different things, and now they're retiring, which is actually kind of good because they've done a lot of different things. So when they're coming here, they may not be a professional at something, but they get the gist of what to do, and you teach them how to do it, and they do it. And so I think that's been That's been interesting because a lot of like the newer volunteers, they might say, oh, you know, I don't know how to do that, but I kind of know how to do this. And they're willing to do anything and everything. I don't have a lot of volunteers saying, I specifically can only do X, Y, Z. They're saying, nope, I'll do whatever. And they do. And we find their niche.
Is having a volunteer coordinator that is specific to pulling those things out. Her relationship with every volunteer, knowing what their background is, knowing what they're good at, knowing where they might just need a little bit of confidence to do something. Rebuild a diorama. Who would have figured out who had the skills or the Yeah, that was a huge project.
Yeah.
And she had just the right people to take it on and do it.
Well, and we had a lady here this year that I think she did a lot of indoor things and she was mainly did like baking and cooking and things like that. Come to find out, she thrived working in the housekeeping department. They miss her now that she's gone. They want her back. And so that was something that was really interesting because we just had to find that niche. And once we did, it was like, boom, she thrived.
Yeah. I think two things I would encourage conference centers or campgrounds to do. One is to make your expectations of what the volunteers are going to do very, very clear. So they know that they are signing on for 24 hours, 26 hours a week. If they know that before they fill out the application, you've got a better chance of those people fulfilling what you're going to do. Number two, I think what I've seen in the places I've been is when you pair people up, or group people, whether it's, you know, we had a gardening team here that was like six people. That worked really well for, they all worked together on that. I worked with an electrician most of this season. David and Mark worked docks, repairing docks, and they worked as a great team. Julie and Mark's wife, Pam, were painters along with Tony, and they worked great. And so by grouping them, and what you even did, we have one couple that's Tony and Tony. They both have the same first name. So, Tony with an I, worked with Julie and Pam at painting. She was great at that and loved it. Tony with a Y was an auto mechanic. And what worked really well here is you have your own mechanic. And so they became the pair and they worked really well together. So I think the danger that could be is if you bring a guy that's single like me and just put him off doing a job by himself, he's not going to enjoy it. There may be some that would, but I was one that wouldn't. And so pairing them and then expectation, I think together those things make it work and you will get the people that you're hoping for, not the trouble that some may have experienced.
Yeah.
Well, and I've also tried to listen to because I talk to them and I also try to listen to the application because there was a couple that came and she needed to be with him. And vice versa, because I think he was starting to get dementia and they requested to be together. They could still work, but they requested to be together. So I'm not going to separate them. I'm just going to listen to their request. And they come back year after year.
That is so good. Well, you mentioned putting people together and having that, and you mentioned that you guys worked on the docks and things. How important is it for you as volunteers to be able to see the completion of the project?
That's huge. Yeah, because last year we were painting, and we were down to the last building. We had 1 week left to do before we left for Maine, and it was huge that we finished the building. And the same thing with those docks. You don't want it. We saw it as one was being demos last year. We never saw it completed. But this year we got to see, at least I did, I got to see two completions. And you can go out there and say, yeah, I did a part of that. That's huge, I think.
agree. Is painting ever finished? I know there will still be pink buildings next year when we get back here. I'm excited. Where will we be painting next year?
And there are those ongoing all the time projects that every camp will have for perpetuity. I mean, it just is what it is, as far as that's kind of the ministries. You're always updating. You're always moving those things, which means that there's always going to be a need for volunteers like you guys who are willing to come in and willing to work and enjoy doing it. I know for our staff and for Ashley and for the other volunteers, it's always a joy when we get to this season, because, you know, we get to see our friends again, because you become a part of our culture just as much as you have your own in the midst there. And I want to say, I know that we greatly appreciate it. And for all of the camps and conference centers out there, if you don't have a particular volunteer ministry, if you don't have this ongoing, seriously consider what the impact of a volunteer is. I don't know of a whole lot of camps that don't have some type of volunteer ministry, but consider enhancing that to a point to where you've got a community and a culture of volunteers that just enjoy coming to where you are to do the work that you have, because they see God in it. They see the results of their labor, and then they want to come back and be a part of that each and every year. Y'all, thank you so much for everything you have. Go ahead, Julie.
Can I add one thing about your question about volunteers?
Yes.
Because one of the greatest things to me last year coming in for the first time was meeting your volunteers that have been coming here 15, 20 years. That was incredible. But also, you have the volunteers where you're working with the local churches, mm-hmm. and you're bringing in junior high groups and high school groups to come in and work here. And you're really raising up volunteers. Camps have that opportunity to train the volunteers. So don't just get down on the volunteers are changing. Train up new ones. Train them up for what you need.
That is a great point, Julie. Great point. And I think that we have the responsibility to do that, whether it's from our camp standpoint or other volunteers to do that for each other. I think that is a huge responsibility that we have, to be that training portion. It's one of the reasons we started a student summer staff program in the summers, because we wanted to train that work ethic and train that idea into them for the summer. So that's a great point.
Keep praying and allowing God to bring the right people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for what you've done. I can't thank you enough for what you've had to say and share with this. Is there anything else that, if you were to talk to a camp director, just so you're sitting down in front of a camp director who's thinking about starting or enhancing their current volunteer ministry, what's the one more thing that you would like to leave with them?
I think what has benefited us is the fact that we have a ton of RV sites. I've noticed that a lot of different camps only have a couple or six. And kind of like what Tom was saying, like, how are we able to pair up a lot of people, or how are you able to have people if you don't have those sites? So I think that has been a big benefit, considering a lot of volunteers come with their RVs.
I would say invest in a volunteer coordinator. It can be a retired person in a part-time role. I don't think Ashley seems like she's full-time with this, but I know she has other roles that she plays for Lake Yale. So in a sense, this is a part of her job, not her full job. But invest in somebody who is a people person, who understands what it means, or how to motivate, how to encourage, how to love, and empower them to go out and find the people, and he or she will.
I think just go beyond the expectations of what you have at a camp and see how volunteers can fill that gap. I think sometimes we're limited by what our budget is or the staff we have, but I think if you this dream big of what God wants you to do at a camp. See how a volunteer staff can fill that gap for you.
And just know it's our privilege to be able to come alongside and do that.
Oh, there was one other thing. Another way to get, I think, to get volunteers is to go to some of the different companies, or not companies, organizations, like Volunteer Christian Builders or Campers on Mission, Arvix, Sowers, because then I think from that, they may, you know, the people, volunteers may be working with them, but they may go, you know, I'm going to go hang out with Lake Yale for a couple weeks, mm-hmm. separate from the organization that they're volunteering with too. And I think that we've built community that way.
And I think that brings up one more thing that I want to address with you a little bit is on the vetting process for volunteers for us. You want to make sure coming in that the volunteers that are coming to you share those same values. How are you doing that now? And how would you suggest other camps and conference centers look at vetting volunteers to be a good fit for their organization?
So on our application, we have a spot where we ask our volunteers to put down 3 references, and I literally reach out to all of them. I don't just surpass it, but I reach out to them and I ask the references. First of all, we are, you know, saying that we're looking for good Christian individuals. And then they tell me about that first opens the door, and the reference tells me about the individuals. And then I ask them about capabilities, like physical capabilities. And typically they are really honest, like, okay, listen, you're talking about this 80-year-old, but she's really good at XYZ. That also puts in my mind, okay, I know where I'm going to or where I'm not going to put this person. And then after that, we do the background checks. And I believe we do that every year. And that's just something to keep, you know, everyone accountable and safe.
Very good. And Tom still made it.
Tom made it.
The staff here told me they check mine weekly.
Well, y'all, thank you so, so very much. I could sit here and talk with you guys absolutely all day. I really enjoyed this. And I hope that for you that are listening, this has been an encouragement to you. Get out there and work your volunteer program. There are people who are out there, whether they're retired, whether they're student groups, whether they're men's groups in the church, who are seeking places to serve the Lord, to make an impact. And we as camps and conference centers have that opportunity for them to be able to see and be a part of that. Don't neglect, don't deprive them of that opportunity. Get out there and make that happen. Everybody, thank you so, so very much for sitting in with us today. And that was Volunteerism with the volunteers from Lake Yale Baptist Conference Center. If you don't have a volunteer program at your camp or your conference center, you need to look into seeing what wonderful things you can accomplish with your volunteers. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
This has been Jeff with the SBCA Podcast. Praying all the best for you, your camps, and your staff as you seek to give Him glory in all that you do. See you next time.
The SBCA Podcast is a production of the Southern Baptist Camping Association. Our theme song, First Day at Camp, written, produced, and performed by Caleb Gilbert.